Welcome back to the Jazzed Podcast. When I started this podcast, she was honestly one of the first people that came to mind from the jazz social media community that I thought would be just really fun to talk to. We have Lex with us. Lex, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. First off, yeah, just I want to talk a little bit about, you know, you and your jazz fandom. I think anyone who knows who you are, you're just a really good follow on Twitter. You just have really funny and fun opinions and takes, and in the jazz community, you're just kind of someone that everybody knows, I think. And when you tweet something, I think people notice it. Take me back to your jazz fandom. Like, when you think about the jazz, what era, what team, what players do you think about when you first started kind of like loving the jazz?
I think it was the year that the Jazz went to the Western Conference Finals with Boozer and Memo and Darren Williams and AK. And at that time, I had a one-year-old and I was a single mom. And so basketball became something for me that I could do at home. And it was something I could look forward to every night because there was always a game on. I had NBA TV, I had League Pass, and I would watch basketball and just absorb it. Obviously, the Jazz the most, but when they weren't playing, I would still watch other teams. It just always snowballed from there. I really have just enjoyed that, but I don't ever miss jazz games, pretty much ever. My life revolves around that, and I don't go to things if there's a jazz game on that night.
I love it. You mentioned like that Darren, Boozer, Memo team. Who on that team was it that you loved?
So it's kind of a funny one. My favorite player back then, for no reason at all, other than that I just really thought he had a fun personality and I liked the way that he played, was Ronnie Brewer. And I always loved him. But from that time, it's AK for sure. But yeah, for some reason, Ronnie Brewer, I just loved him back then.
I liked Ronnie Brewer too. I feel like we never really got to know Ronnie Brewer. It was like pre me being an employee there. But like as a fan, you know, he just seemed like this quiet guy. I think the only thing I knew about him is that he was a Ronnie Brewer Jr. He had his dad was Ron Brewer. And he went to Arkansas. And he wore really baggy suits on draft night. And but like, I don't really know anything about him.
I swear it was light blue or something.
Yeah, I think it was light blue.
You know, he broke his arm, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that's why he had a funny
shot. That's right. It's a funny shot. Yeah. And that Hot Rod called, every now and then Hot Rod would mix him and Boozer together and call him Bruiser. I don't know if you ever remember that, but he would say like Ron Bruiser sometimes. It was kind of rare, but I noticed it every time. I was going to ask you like who your favorite jazz player all time is. I mean, based on last year, the last couple of years, I have a theory who it was or is. But I'll just let
honestly,
you answer.
Yeah, as much as I know who you're going to say, I think it would be AK as of right now. Donovan could easily like fill that spot later on down the line. But I don't know. Like, he just was such a fun player to watch. And I loved figuring out, you know, just the stats and seeing all the things that he did, which it wasn't, you know, every time he would shoot, it's like, no, okay. I don't know. He was just such a fun player. So, and then I thought his personality was really funny. And the way that he would be with just books in the locker room. And I don't know, for some reason, he just like kind of spoke to me as being an introvert and, you know, kind of a nerd a little bit.
What did you think of his back tattoo?
So I don't know if you know this story, but that's kind of how I got a little bit of a following on Twitter.
Oh, no, I don't know this.
Okay, so when he got that back tattoo, I have a friend who was a very big tattoo artist, really big back then. His name was Vic Back, and he was a tattoo artist in Salt Lake that I knew, and he posted it on his Twitter that he had done AK's whole back tattoo. And so I shared it because I was on Twitter and I was casually on for the Jazz, but not, I didn't use it a ton. And, you know, Twitter back then was so different, but So he posted it. I shared it. It got picked up by a couple of the local blogs. So I think SLC Dunk back then when Chris was running it, and all that Amar, he shared it. And then Salt City Hoops shared it. And then eventually, I think, I don't remember what they were back then, but it was like Trey, you know, the guys that do the starters.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So mm-hmm. I think eventually they picked it up. And then by the end of that day or the next day, it was a story on PTI.
Wow. And so
it was funny because I didn't get credit from any of those people except for like our local bloggers. That's where people saw my name or like started following me. And that was the first little jump start in my NBA Twitter or Jazz Twitter.
I didn't realize like your Twitter fame was all the way back then. Dang.
It was a long time ago and it was so different then. It's not necessarily Twitter fame. It's even still not Twitter fame.
No, I think it is Twitter fame. I mean, you know better than anybody, at least Jazz Twitter fame is a real thing. It's a real thing. Yeah. And when, yeah. So, I mean, from my perspective, like working for, like doing the social media for the team, it's funny because, you know, you can ask, you know, the people who do it now, you know, Angie or you know, Nick or whoever, like you never really have time to like really even read the mentions. Like you go through them because the Jazz get so many and
yeah.
You can't really ever, you never really contribute to the community, so to speak, because you're always logged into the Jazz account. So back when I first started, like, yeah, I had a Twitter account, but it had like 10 followers. And like, I feel like I was never on my own account because I was always doing Jazz stuff. So you kind of miss out on this community when you're actually, it's almost ironic, right? Like you're like the thing, you're the sun, right? Everyone revolves around the Jazz. And then you don't really even get time to know who anybody is.
Yeah.
I mean, you do, but it seems like it's rare just because you tweet something from the Jazz and then you get so many interactions that you just can't even really look at any of them. Like you might see some of them, but the next thing you know, you're tweeting something else. And so now that I'm out of that, I've been able to like try to get in the community, so to speak.
Yeah.
As like myself.
Engage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like this funny, ironic world.
Well, I was going to say, I can totally see that just from Angie, you know, like she was very active and able to talk a lot and had a lot always to say. And now, you know, ever since she runs the Jazz account, not, you know, she's so busy doing that.
It's funny too. I mean, you're probably seeing like this with Angie also is when you work there, you can't. It's like sometimes you like don't have time for, but like there's so many things you can't even comment on, like
yeah,
at all.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're definitely seeing that with her now. But I mean, she does an awesome job with the Jazz. But yeah, like her own voice, like you can always tell it's her voice. In
yeah,
there.
You can tell. Yeah, totally.
Well, you didn't say the player that I thought you were going to say, but I want to. this is all just light and everything, but like I know that you love Ricky Rubio.
Yes.
And I think everyone likes Ricky Rubio.
Yeah. So it was kind of just a thing where I knew his backstory of being just awesome as like a 14-year-old playing with men in Spain, but I didn't really follow his career that much. It was more just like, oh, he's adorable. Oh, he's got, you know, it was kind of fun at the beginning. Having him come onto the Jazz was like amazing. And then watching him as a player and actually following kind of the career for that short amount of time was really fun. And just seeing like the kind of person that he was he's not dead. I have a video that I saved and it's saved because I posted it, but he's shopping with these little kids and this girl is saying that she likes two things. And he's like, well, you can get both. And I don't know. He just seems like he had a heart of gold. And so that's a huge part of it. But also his play style is so fun to watch. And it just really is like a hard thing to admire a player so much and then also like know where their strengths lie, and then watching like a fan base trash that player, kind of like not on him, like him personally, but his play style, like not understanding what, maybe that's, I don't know, maybe that's the wrong thing to say, but I just, you know, I would watch people talk about him in a way that he, like, that's not the player that he is. From everything that we ever heard was that Quinn wanted him to shoot, but then, you know, if it doesn't work out, then it sucks because he's trying to be like a square peg going in a round hole. And so I just don't think that was ever fair, I guess, is kind of my whole thing. And why I always was like adamantly sticking up for him. And I don't know. And the whole way that it kind of ended after he had come in and said he felt like he really wanted to be there. And it seemed like his relationship with Quinn was like so strong. And so I don't know. I just felt the need to defend him. And I know that people don't not like him personally, but it was hard to watch, or it was hard to be such a fan of his play style, more of like the facilitator. And like, honestly, you know, people would say Juan Stockton, and he kind of played more similar that way. And to kind of watch him have so much trouble with the fandom, I guess, is my long-winded answer.
I didn't really thought about us asking him to do something that he wasn't. Like, that's right. Like, he's really like a pass-first kind of defending, free-flowing guy. And I think it was too bad as a, you know, a fan of the team, how we always want guys to be here. He obviously, like, wanted to be here. We basically just, like, peace, you know? I mean, I think it did work out for Ricky because, like he said, he made the playoffs and he experienced something, you know, different. And
if you think about it, he's had bigger success, probably even in his mind somewhat, than what the NBA is giving him. You know what I mean? Like, he's won gold for his country, and, you know, he had a lot of accolades before he even came to the NBA. He wasn't the player that the Jazz needed him to be, I guess. It's just part of life. You know what I mean? It's no one's fault. It's nothing like that. But it seemed obvious that he was pretty hurt by the rumors of being traded at the deadline and then that not happening. And I think it all kind of just went downhill from there. And Yeah, I don't know. It was hard. But I got to have him, you know, on my team for a little bit, and I thought that was really cool. I really liked him. I really thought that he was a stand-up guy. And so, yeah.
Well, that moment that he had, that game against OKC in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
That city jersey game.
With his arms up in the air.
Like the Are You Not Entertained moment. Like, that's a classic Jazz moment. So, like, he's...
Yeah.
I mean, he did take us to the second round. Like, he had... That series was... We probably won that series because of him. Like, he had some really good games.
And especially with, like, I don't know, just the way that Westbrook was talking about him. And then he came out and just completely dominated the rest of that series. I just thought he was incredible. So, I mean, I don't know. He had his moments, and he had his moments throughout the season too. You know, I don't believe that it was only that. Honestly, I get that way about a lot of our players. It's not just Ricky, or it's not just my favorite players on the team. I typically get really attached to rooting for the guys that we've had. Favors was by far the worst to have leave. That was really brutal.
At least we did have Ricky for those 2 years, and who knows, hopefully Mike, you know, takes us to that next level of like the conference finals or whatever. And, you know, hopefully Ricky has some success in Phoenix. I mean, I know they're basically half rebuilding, but maybe he can be that vet that they need.
I'm hoping that at least he has a good time on the court with those players and can teach them things. And, you know, I think it'll be good for him.
Yeah. Okay. So speaking of players, I want to do a little game with you.
Okay.
Where I'll say a player's name and you just say the first word or words, just whatever pops in your mind first.
Okay.
Okay. So whatever it is. So first player, Rudy Gobert.
I can't say it. Euro? superhero? We gotta cut that one. I'll just say shirtless. That's my answer.
Okay, so Rudy is shirtless. Abs.
Yeah. Abs, yeah.
Okay.
But the reason why is because he went into that French thing with no shirt on and, like, said, this is my lifestyle, remember?
Yep.
So ridiculous with his shirtless posts and all that stuff, so.
There was a time when we still had Cantor yeah. for that season, his last season here or whatever, where he was just, like, obsessed with his abs. And that dude had abs, like, even way more abs than Rudy could ever have. And, like,
yeah.
he knew it, and he was always shirtless. And you would walk into practice, and Cantor was over on the medicine, like, the exercise ball doing abs every single time. Like, I don't know if it was, like, a show that he was putting on or if that's all he did was abs, but Cantor was, like, Mr. Abs. It was kind of weird.
That's really weird. It seems really on trend, like on brand for him.
Yeah. Okay. So next player, Gordon Hayward.
The first thing that came to my mind was traitor, which is so funny because my whole thing with him is that, I don't know. I was never a Hayward lover, and I know most people were, but he kind of, I fell out of watching a ton of basketball around the time that he, you know, was getting good. I just had 3 kids in like 4 years, and I just couldn't keep up with Twitter and all that stuff. So I would watch games, but I wasn't involved in the community as much. And so I never feel like I fell in love with him the way that other people did. And people would talk about, oh, he's not going to leave. There's no way he would leave. And I'm like, he's gone. He's leaving. What are you talking about? He didn't ever seem like he was super happy to be talking to anyone or be here in general. So
yeah,
I don't know. I don't really care about him, but that was the first thought that came to my mind.
Okay. No, that's fair. Okay. Next guy, Joe Ingles.
Slow-mo. I don't know why, but I just hear that voice in my head every single time. Slow-mo Joe.
Does Bowler narrate like your jazz like mind?
Yeah, he really does. And I always say this to people. I say how our players are so lucky to have Bowler in their like hype videos and stuff, their highlights, because I just think he's such a good announcer. Seriously, I love him so much. We're lucky to have him.
Yeah, he's the man. Donovan Mitchell.
Disney. I just think he looks like a Disney character.
Wait, like the eyes or what?
I don't know. He just is so smiley. Like, he's got these big eyes and he has the biggest smile all the time. He just looks so happy and positive.
Have you ever mentioned that? I don't think I've ever heard of Disney associated with him. Is that something you've said before on Twitter?
I have no idea. I don't know why I thought of that, but that's
I thought you were going like the Spider-Man route or something, like Zendaya or something.
No, no, not that. It's just like his, like the air around him. It's just like he may as well have like little animals coming down on his shoulders and like following him around a forest. He just seems happy all the time.
Oh, that's good. That's gold right there. That was a good one. I don't know if we can top that.
Yeah, I'm not very good at this game.
No, I like it. Okay, let's do a couple more. Mehmet Okur.
Money.
The money man.
Money man. Yeah, that's like first thing.
Okay. Carlos Boozer.
Booze. That just reminds me of that so much. I don't know. Or give me that.
Grab it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, Boozer. I kind of miss, I don't know. Like, I don't think fans have any kind of love for Boozer. Maybe they do a little bit, but like, dang, he was good on the Jazz. He was really good.
He was way good. I don't necessarily hate Boozer. I hate his like fake hair that he has now, or I don't know. Didn't he have a picture with like a fedora and like the weirdest?
Yeah, I think he's doing some funny things now.
Yeah, yeah. I really liked him on that team. It was harder to get into all the politics as much, I feel like, and the ins and outs of the players back then. Like, it was kind of just how they were on the team, and that was basically it, because they weren't on social media. They weren't like, you know, we have straight into Donovan Mitchell's mind by what he's tweeting, and we get to hear from him outside of just post-game interview or things like that, you know? And so I don't think we had that as much with Boozer, but I think that's actually a disservice to how we got to view older players, because it's easier to fall in love with players when you get to see their personality a little bit more. And I don't know, he was funny, and he was so good, but yeah, how he left and all that kind of stuff was kind of problematic.
You had a lot of really good points there. The one that I'm going to remember is that you don't like people with fake hair.
I swear Darren Williams did some of that, didn't he?
You know,
or his hair was always kind of funny.
He had an interesting hairline, but I don't know. Who knows what Darren was doing?
Yeah, it wasn't painted.
John Stockton.
Shorts. I wish I had more. That's another hard thing, is I wish I was more into it when those guys were playing. As I know the Suns dumb, and I know that there's a lot of females that were really into the Jazz, but I didn't come from like a super sports family. And so, like I said, it was so casual that I wish I knew more about that team, like when it was happening, than I got to like kind of experience. It was just happening all around you, you know, and so you kind of gravitate towards it and get to participate in these little doses. But I wish it was, like, looking back now, I wish it was something that I was really into back then, because that team sounded like it was so amazing and was so fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of was. I grew up with that. I think you and I are close to the same age, but I mean, in 98, I was, you know, just finished eighth grade. I was 14. And like that era of my life, just watching every second of the Jazz and every player. It's funny when you're, you know, a teenager or you're 12 or whatever, like whatever player is on that team, like you feel like you know everything about him, even though there was no social media. Like you just like, this is our team. And, you know, back then, yeah, like players were around the teams more. They were on the teams longer, it seemed like, but
Yeah,
it was a good, I mean, obviously we went to the finals twice, but there was a lot of heartbreak in there.
I don't know. It's kind of a weird thing to have been very acutely aware of what was going on, but now to the level of, you know, interest that I have, if I would have had that then, it would have been, I don't know. I just kind of am sad that I don't have that, I guess, is kind of what I mean by that.
We just need the Jazz or the social media team, we need to tell them to just like put out tons of old clips. I mean, they've got the footage. I'm pretty sure there's a server that Jazz broadcast and the social media team and the people who do like the Jumbotron, like they all have the server, and it goes back to like, you can get, they have every single game, I think, to like 01, like every game, the full game, yeah, and all the highlights. But then after that, they have like most of games. So we need to get on them to get you some like really good Stockton and Malone era stuff.
Yeah, I would love that. I was on vacation this summer and we walked into a restaurant and there was a Jazz versus Bulls finals game on, and it ended up being a game that the Jazz won. But I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to watch this. We watched it. They won. And it was fun to watch the old games with my family.
Yeah.
While we sat and ate dinner or lunch or whatever.
Well, that brings me, I mean, so you're a busy person, you've got a family and kids, but you mentioned you kind of still watch or at least follow every game. Is that right? Like every Jazz game?
Yeah. I watch every Jazz game. I mean, if there's something that's really crazy happening and that I can't miss, then obviously I'll just tape it and watch it later. But it's kind of like an event that you're watching with so many other people. I don't know, it just feels like a community all watching together. And so that's why I like to really watch in real time and get to celebrate with people that, you know, are as interested and invested as I am. So
it's kind of funny how we can form communities and like friendships with people that we've never met. And
I know,
you feel like you know them, right?
Yeah, totally. It's like with Chris, you know, I've talked to him online for like almost 10 years, but I don't know, I haven't met him, but he's one of the very first, and all that. Amar and Diana, I met Diana, like, because she lived nearby me. We went to a meetup, and that's something that I want to do more, is just, we did it, I think, once or twice only, but we had a group that all met up. We went to Iggy's while it was still there, and we all went to the game after, and just stuff like that is fun, getting to meet the people that you're talking with, and getting to know people. It's a lot harder now with having four kids. Back then I only had one, so it's harder to do that, but I want to try to make more of a point of doing that.
Yeah, that would be fun. So I was wondering whether it's a game you were at or just watched, like, what was, like, the most exciting game, Jazz game, that you can remember, like, watching?
The Sunday out of games shot. I know that's, like, I'm going to have the most basic answers, I swear, but that shot was incredible. We had, like, been signed that day. We jumped up on the scores table, I think, wasn't it?
Yep.
And it was just, I don't know. It was incredible. And so that is one of the most exciting. Another one of the most exciting is probably that Paul Millsap game in Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Just that game was, he just went crazy. And it was so weird because it didn't seem like, it was like he was possessed. He wasn't even playing like himself. That's what was so weird about it.
Because he never even shot threes. Like, these were just like shots he was just like throwing up because we were all desperate and they were just going in.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's why it was so funny, is because it wasn't an amazing, and why it was so good is because it wasn't this assassin three-point shooter that, oh, well, why are they giving him open looks? Of course he's going to make them. It was like throwing up Hail Marys and actually working. And so that was awesome. I loved the Ricky game that we talked about already, the triple-double. I loved when I don't know, just the whole team, when they actually won that series, was just really fun to watch. I really enjoy watching games from home. There's definitely something about the atmosphere, but when I'm there, I miss the announcers. I miss, you know, being able to watch a replay as well.
It's funny, this just barely came to my mind as you were saying, you know, watching them from home. I always reference, you know, the job I had. Doing social media at games. And most people think, you know, the social media team is just chilling and like, oh, maybe I'll tweet that out.
Yeah.
But there is so, and it can be really difficult because you don't have the announcers. And I would always tell people, like, the next time you're at a game, like, look at the media section and then like find like the social media person, because they are not watching the game, because you're so far behind trying to post, whether they're highlights or there's sponsored elements or whatever it is. And then like a timeout happens. And during timeouts, it's kind of when you like catch up and you like finally like catch up to the action. And then the game starts again and you're like, and I always feel like I kind of watched like 10% of the game because you're so focused and your head's down and you're cutting highlights out. And so it's an interesting like thing that I don't think most people really even think about is, is like that element from like the person who's like sharing all of the stuff from the Jazz is just like, you don't really watch the game, even though you're like live. It's kind of a funny thing that's going on there, but I don't know how else it would be.
Even having like anyone talking to me when I'm trying to watch it is so hard. Like if I have a big group of people all around me, I really just like to sit and watch and like process it all with all of you guys and all the people on Twitter. And that's like my preferred watching.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, it seems silly, but I really enjoy it.
I mean, the comforts of home and like your couch and your fridge and whatever it is, like being at home is like, it's nice. Like I totally understand that. It's just nice, you know, doing this podcast and like getting to talk to the Jazz fan community and just kind of getting to know you guys and like letting the fans hear you and letting fans kind of feel like they know you better. Hopefully people think the same with this podcast. I know it's still like brand new basically, but it's just fun getting to talk to you.
Yeah, it's been fun to listen to the other episodes too. Like just getting to know other people, because I just really like the way that you've done this with having, you know, fans and getting to know their stories more. I think that's really cool.
That's awesome. But before I go, I have my tradition of talking about first your favorite TV show ever, and then I want to know what you're currently watching.
Okay. So my favorite show ever is I can't say probably hands down because that doesn't make a lot of sense, but is Game of Thrones. It was my first experience into like a separate world that was so well thought out and like intense, I guess, that had a history, and like I just really hadn't ever experienced anything like that. So that's for sure my favorite. I love that show. I could watch it forever, and I've watched it and rewatched it so many times. But yeah, that's for sure my favorite.
Cool. I can get on board with that. It's funny that it's over now, and how there was like this kind of crazy, like the last season had this like momentum, right? Everyone was so like insane about it, and then it just kind of ended. And I know that a lot of people didn't necessarily love the way it all ended, but it's just, it's funny how that happens, where it's just like all this excitement, and then it's just over, and you're like, okay, well, what else do I have in my life?
I don't know. Like, so for me, and I'll say this, I don't think I've ever been happy necessarily with how a show ends, and I think that more has to do with the fact that the show's ending, and mm-hmm. I just don't want it to. But yeah, I think there was a lot of, you know, a lot of people were unhappy with the ending. I was not as unhappy. I was fine with, like, how that all wrapped up, but it did seem like, oh, we're gonna build this all up for years and years and years, and then we're gonna jump this last 20 miles. You know what I mean? If you haven't rewatched it, going through and rewatching is really fun, because they're, you, at least for me, like every time I rewatch it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I totally even forgot this plot line. You know what I mean? And there's always new things to find.
What are you watching now?
I am watching Breaking Bad for the first time, so I'm really excited about that. We finally started it. I've been putting it off for so long, really for no reason other than I kind of really get addicted to the show I'm watching, and I have a hard time, like, not watching it. You know what I mean? And so I put off starting shows. Like, I have a full list of, like, probably 30 shows that I want to watch or that I want to start. And I just put it off because I'm like, well, I don't have the time to dedicate to this right now, or I need something to have on while I'm working just to keep my mind kind of focused. And so I finally started it. I'm loving it. But the last season was pretty insane, season 4. And we watched that finale last night. And so I'm about to start season 5, and I'm really excited to see how this all wraps up.
So remind me, so I think we're past, so okay, spoiler alert, if you've never seen Breaking Bad, I guess stop listening. Remind me what happened at the end of season 4 so I know right where you're at.
Okay, so at the end of season 4, Gus goes into to see Hector.
Okay.
And he has the mom. So that happened.
Okay, so that was season 4. Okay. That's a big moment.
I wanted to do research and I didn't last night because I was watching till like 1 a.m. But I wanted to know if like kids or people always die from that, or if Walt knew that there was like that he would get better. You know what I mean? And then I also wanted to try to figure out or wanted to know if Walt took that cigarette or maybe if they figured it out, or where that lucky cigarette went with the ricin in it. So that was the other kind of thing that I was stewing on last night.
I don't think, so I think you should research it. I think just from my point of view, and I don't think this is, I don't think that they like, they don't go into it any further, but like, I'm pretty sure Walt was like, I don't know if he knew that he would get better. I think he was just like, hey, hopefully he gets better. We can get him to the hospital. But I don't know. Like, you should research that, because I don't know if he knew or not, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, like I mean, obviously he's gone past the point. I know he's still like a sympathetic character, at least for me. Like, I wrestle with that because I don't know, once a character has, like, you know, there's a part, I think when he went down with Jesse and he, like, shoots the guys, he's in the elevator, and there's a guy who's down with Jesse.
Oh, yeah.
In that episode, it's kind of like, that doesn't faze me, but the idea of, like, June or Brock or those deaths, I'm kind of more like, if it, you know, Brock, I don't think he dies, but if he did, those deaths would be more like, okay, well, I don't want to root for you. You
right. know what I mean? So how many seasons was there? Six?
I think there's only one more season. Okay. I think there's only five, well, and then we'll watch the little show that came out after the movie or whatever.
You're lucky. Like when you're watching, you know, when you're watching a show live and you only get one episode at a time. So the way they did season five, it was one of these crazy things where it was basically two seasons where like they put out six episodes or whatever it was. And then they did like the whole season break, and then it wasn't back on for like a year or more. So it almost felt like two seasons when you were actually watching it. So I think season five is like one season, but the way that they aired it, it was like a year in between the two
so
sets.
So there's going to be like a really good middle episode probably.
I don't know, I guess.
Like a mid-season where it would have been a cliffhanger for the whole next year.
Perhaps. Yeah. Do you know how many episodes are in season five? Is it 12 or is it 10?
I'm not sure. I'll have to look.
My story with Breaking Bad is like, it's funny to like rank your all-time favorite shows, right? And
yeah,
I think so many people say Breaking Bad just because of at the time it was just like so different, and like the writing and like the acting and the movie making, so to speak, is like so good. Like they made that show so well, and it really is like genius. And
yeah,
my dad, so a little story is like, my dad doesn't watch anything. Like when I talk to my dad, like my dad has not have internet in his house, does not have cable in his house. And he watches whatever is on channel 2 or 5 or whatever, or channel 7. He's always telling me about Nova, and like all he watches is stuff about space. So like, you got to love that guy.
Yeah, and that's cool though.
And I was just like, oh, you should check out Breaking Bad. Because at the time, you know, a few years ago, I had the first season on DVD. And I'm just like, because he doesn't have internet, so he couldn't watch Netflix or anything. So I'm like, hey, here's the DVDs. And he's like, okay, you know, like my dad's like this funny dude where he's just like, well, maybe I'll watch it. And then like the next 2 days later, he's like, I watched them all. I got to go. He's like, do you have the season 2? And I'm like, I don't. So he like went to Best Buy and he like bought all the he bought them all. And then he binged watched all of them. I think it's funny. I think it was like a few weeks later he was done, but he started, I would like text him and say, how's Breaking Bad going? And he's like, well, I've only got 3 episodes left. I'm really trying to save them. Like he started like, you know how you get when you binge
like
a show and you don't want it to end. So like you only watch one a week or whatever it is. And yeah. So like Breaking Bad just kind of does that to you where you just have to keep watching. And I'm excited to hear what you think of the ending and how it ends, because that last season is pretty, every season is great, but I kind of always had the feeling that Breaking Bad got better as it went.
That's what I've kind of heard is that, and that's why I was kind of saying like I really liked the beginning, but there were more slower episodes in the beginning, I feel like, which, like I said, that doesn't really bother me because I like that. But that definitely seems to have like ramped up in the last couple of seasons where there's just more crazy and more like you have to keep watching and that sense of like tension.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of tension in the last season.
Yeah.
Season 4 had a ton of that, which I love that kind of stuff. So
well,
that one's really good.
How do you feel about Saul Goodman?
I love Saul. I want to watch the Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul is amazing, and it's made by the same guy and written by the same guy, and it has a Breaking Bad vibe, but it's like totally different. It's got like a Saul vibe, so it's serious at times, but it's like can be really funny at times. But it is so good, and it's like all of like the origin of Saul, so it's all like pre-Walter White, and it's so good. Like Better Call Saul is really great. Like you're gonna like it. If you like Breaking Bad, you'll like it.
Yeah, I think we'll start watching that one probably right after we finish, like, Breaking Bad. I watch, like, a couple shows on my own, but both of the ones I'm watching right now are, like, rewatches. Season 5 of Peaky Blinders just came out,
okay.
And so I haven't started watching that yet. I'm rewatching, because I think there's only like 6 episodes a season. And so there's only like 24 episodes, something like that. I can't remember. Maybe it's season 4 came out. And so that's a super fun one. And then I love The West Wing. And so I'm watching that too right now. That's kind of just like my background.
I've never watched The West Wing, but I've heard from several people. Like, I think at the time it was like the, you know, it won all the Emmys or whatever. Like, I've always heard it was really good. So you'd recommend it?
Yeah. So when I watched it the first time, I think Shannon Fan, her name's.
Oh, well, yeah.
Online, she kind of recommended it. And she is a lawyer in DC. She lives back east. And so she recommended it. And it was back in like 2014. I didn't know a ton like about politics and just kind of the way that that all works. And then the nature of like the last few years has kind of taught me more and I've learned more about that. So this rewatch has been really fun.
Thanks again. I mean, for coming on here and talking with me and letting fans, you know more about you. It's been fun. I feel you on the Ricky stuff. Hopefully that will subside as time goes, or when we win our championship, maybe that'll subside a little. But I don't know. Any final
Knock
words?
On wood. Just being excited. I'm excited for the team. I'm excited for this year. I think it's going to be a fun year.
Thanks everyone for listening to the Jazz Podcast. Again, if you're not following Lex, go check her out on Twitter. I'm sure you already are if you're listening to this. She's one of the best. So thanks again to Lex, and go Jazz.